Hi, everybody. This is Steve Savitsky, and today we have Robert Avrich, who is joining us. How are you, Robert? How's everything?
Fine, thank you very much. Appreciate
it. Did I pronounce the name correctly?
Yeah, it's Avrich. Yeah.
Avrich.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Okay.
Yeah, in English, Avrich. In Hollywood, I'm known as Robert Avrich. Yeah.
Okay, that's good enough. So Robert wrote a very interesting article that I read called Confessions of a Shomer Shabbos Hollywood Screenwriter. Firstly, that's, quite a profession for a nice Jewish boy to be in, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's unusual, but it's becoming more common on the West Coast.
Really? More common. Why is that?
Because more the creativity, the urge to be creative, is becoming much more accepted in the Orthodox Jewish community. I'm older. I'm 62 years old. I grew up in the 50s and 60s in the yeshiva world, and the choices were very limited on Parnassa. You were an accountant, you were a doctor, you were a lawyer, you went into some kind of business. Nobody became a screenwriter, and so my path was rather difficult. But Jews who are growing up now, especially on the West Coast, where the film business and television are just everywhere and ubiquitous, and we're immersed in the media culture, Jews with a creative spirit and a creative bent find their way into the film business, mostly into television, into sitcoms. I know at least 15 Shomer Shabbos screenwriters who work in sitcoms on television.
Really? Now, when you're a screenwriter, that means you have flexibility as far as your time or not?
Well, that's the point about being a screenwriter. You really make your own time. You sit alone with the computer. You write your stuff. You hand it into the studio, to the producers, to the directors, to the stars. And, there's very rarely a conflict with Shabbos. It's happened once in my whole career. It's when you get into other areas of the film business, for instance, being a director for his Hollywood studio, is very, very difficult. I don't see a way of doing it because so much work is done on Shabbos. And if you're shooting on a Friday, you don't suddenly call it quits because the sun is going down and, production that costs $300 million. It's just fiscally unfeasible.
So are there any Shomer Shabbos producers or directors, or are they mostly screenwriters?
It's mostly screenwriters. If there are any major directors who are Shomer Shabbos, I don't know of any. I mean, I know of Jews who are directors who feel close to Judaism and they do as much as they can, but to qualify them as Shomer Shabbos would not be correct.
Okay. So the screenwriters, even if it's a regular, program that's on like every week, aren't there deadlines that you have to meet every week?
Well, then you meet your deadlines or you just work much harder. I've had deadlines that were very difficult because of Yamim Noraim, and I just worked that much harder. One of the things the prime thing that you should never do as a Shomer Shabbos screenwriter or anything in Hollywood is say, I can't do this because I'm firm. That's just suicide. It's stupid and it's suicidal. What you have to do is work 10 times harder than everybody else, never let it get in your way, and the best thing to do is never even bring it up. Don't wear your religion on your sleeve. It's a very bad idea. Unless you're Muslim in Hollywood, and then it'll get you a job.
Oh, really? Okay. Now, what about wearing a kippah? Is that a problem?
I don't wear a kippah. It's, there's a social contract in Hollywood that people keep certain things outside of the business. And one of these things has been religion. I have friends who are Mormon. I have friends who are Catholic. I have friends who are evangelical Christians in the film business. And virtually nobody in the business really knows their beliefs. And as I commented before, really the only religion that gets a special place of pride right now in Hollywood is Muslim, and that's because of an askew political correctness which is sweeping through Hollywood.
Okay, let's talk about that, because you mentioned that in your article. So what's really going on? I mean, like, Hollywood sets the tone for the way we think. That's what you say in the article, which I think you're correct. So what's going on with the Muslim world?
Let me just quickly summarize two things about the article that I was anxious to get across to the Orthodox world. First of all, Hollywood is the greatest propaganda machine the world has ever known. America has never won a war without Hollywood's support of that war. Witness World War I and World War II, where Hollywood was not only active in making films that supported the war efforts, but Hollywood stars, directors, producers were active in the war effort by raising money and by going on the front lines in combat. Hollywood was ambivalent about the Korean War, as was America, and therefore the war in Korea came to an inconclusive end. Vietnam was the main war where Hollywood showed its power, came out passionately against the war, and America surrendered in Vietnam. And Hollywood did the exact same thing with Iraq and Afghanistan, two countries that we interceded in and which we are now surrendering. So that's one main point. The second point that I wanted to make about Hollywood movies is that if you read between the lines of Hollywood movies or television shows, Hollywood movies are a moral battleground. They are a moral landscape that tell us and teach us particular ways to think. Hollywood is a highly leftist environment. It's a secular environment. And the message that they give to the public, not just to the American public, but to everybody, to Europe, to Asia, is that this is the correct way of thinking. And currently, the political correctness in Hollywood, which is the correctness of the left, is that Islam is a religion of peace, and that you protest and talk about the violence of the Muslim world, which is endemic, you are an Islamophobe. You are a hater of Islam or bigot or intolerant or what have you. Therefore, I've seen cases in Hollywood where Muslim groups mostly care, are slipped screenplays that have Muslim content, usually about Muslim terrorists, and these come back redlined by Muslim groups, and the studios simply capitulate to the demands that no Muslim ever be portrayed as a terrorist in a Hollywood movie or TV show. That is the line of care. And I myself have written a script that was basically deep-sixed by a studio because it was about Muslim terror.
Okay, but I'm saying, like, you know, Hollywood always needs their heroes and their villains, right? So, you know, there
Correct.
Were years when the villains were the Indians, they were the Japanese, I don't know. They always find ways of finding it. And now, I mean, you go into a lot of the movies and you do see a lot of the villains are kind of like a Muslim type of people. I'm not saying it's defined as one movement, but they certainly have portrayed them to be partly the villains today, aren't they? Or am I missing something?
Actually, I would like to know what movie you've seen.
Okay, then I have to go back and look at it, but I'm saying just a lot of...
Because I haven't seen those movies. The movies that I've seen are basically make apologies for any Muslim terror, and if there is Muslim terror, they're painted as outside the norms of Islam, which is a lie. So, and if you look at, in the past, I'd say about 5 years, there have been about a dozen movies made about Iraq and Afghanistan. And all of them have portrayed American troops as rapists and murderers against innocent Muslims. I should also add that these films have lost money. Not one of those films has made any money whatsoever. They've been box office bombs, which is instructive because it teaches you that though you think Hollywood is all about making money, that's not quite true. Hollywood is frequently about people congratulating each other on how liberal and how wonderful and how tolerant they are to the intolerant of the world.
Now, was there a movie about the 9/11?
There was a TV movie about 9/11. And that was one of the few cases where you actually had the Muslims portrayed as what they are, which was terrorists. But that was on TV. There is, as far as I know, there's been no major movie about Muslim terror in America, in worldwide or in America.
Okay, so there's no question Hollywood influences the world, and so you, in your article, you write about some of the things that Hollywood is always trying to portray, certain messages. Okay, so let's take some of them. You talk about it. I want to understand why this is. So you say no one ever goes to synagogue or church. Any character who worships is the butt of jokes. Why is that?
Because Hollywood is overwhelmingly secular humanist. They don't believe that religion is an important moral driving force in the world. They believe that what they feel is correct, and that filters down to some very simple things like the redefinition of marriage. They believe that to be against gay marriage or polygamous marriage or anything outside of traditional marriage makes you a bigot. They consider it a civil right, a human right, and if you're against it, you're a hater. So that is a big theme in all Hollywood movies and a lot of television.
And you mentioned about the role of women, that, you know, the woman's role in Hollywood is to be a professional, somebody who's working, and the last thing you want to have is a woman who might be home taking care of her kids.
Correct. Years ago, I wrote and produced a movie called The Stranger Among Us with Melanie Griffith playing a very tough cop who goes undercover among the Hasidim in New York to solve a murder of a diamond merchant. And at one point, she has a conversation with a character played by a wonderful actress named Mia Sara, who plays a Hasidic girl. And Melanie says to Mia, So what do you want to be when you grow up? And the Jewish Hasidic character replies, I want to be a wife and a mother. And Melanie says, astonished, is that all? And Mia Sara replies, what's more important? Now, I was at a screening of this film before it was released in Hollywood among a group of important executives. And at that line, there was a groan in the audience and boos from almost everyone who just despised what I said. And I had the director, the great Sidney Lumet, who died about a year ago, he and I argued passionately with the studio not to cut that because it was true for those characters. I couldn't say it was true, because I believed it. I had to say it's true because the characters believed it. But the studio really, really held their nose and allowed us to have the cut that we wanted. But that's a perfect example of what Hollywood despises and looks down on.
So when was the last pro-Israel movie made in Hollywood?
Exodus, over 40 years ago.
Unbelievable. So you're saying since Exodus, there's not been any one really positive Jewish movie that's been made?
There are a couple of movies made about Entebbe.
Right.
But that was
okay.
About a military strike, because it was just undeniably brilliant military strike. But in terms of an overall support of Zionism and the love of Eretz Israel, that is dead issue in Hollywood. Completely
so no one could get funding for a movie like that or put it out. It wouldn't go anyplace.
Impossible. I've tried numerous times. And every time I try to bring up a project like that, the inevitable answer is, yes, but what about the Palestinians? We have to present their side. And my answer is, no, we don't, and we shouldn't.
Well, even if you have to present their side, that could be a different movie. It doesn't have to be this one, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's not the movie I want to make. I mean, they make their movies every single day and put them on YouTube, and they're called Pallywood. But Hollywood, you have to understand the power of the left and the power of secularism. Israel is a prime victim in this cultural war that we're fighting right now.
So I know that there are groups today that are, they're spending a lot of money. They're bringing people to Israel. They're bringing Hollywood actors and actresses, and they're putting them on their Twitter, and they're sending messages out how beautiful the country is and how wonderful it is. Do you see them having any impact at all?
Marginal. I think it's wonderful that they do it, and I think it's wonderful that certain stars go to Israel in spite of the intimidation and death threats that they get from Muslim groups. But And we have to keep doing it more and more and more. There's no question about it. If you get Hollywood stars like Ashton Kutcher and other people like that to come to Israel and really be visible in the support of Israel, it will make a huge difference. But we simply don't do it enough. And one of the reasons is because the mainstream Jewish organizations are too inbred and too ignorant of the power of Hollywood propaganda to really target the Hollywood audience. The Muslims have done a much, much better job because they're natural propagandists. That's all that they do.
Mm-hmm. So which people in Hollywood, let's say, which actors or actresses would you say are the ones who've gone to Israel, have been identified with the Jewish people, with the state of Israel?
I can't name them off the top of my head because there are so few of them. You know, would you say that Madonna is a great supporter of Israel because she's gone there and played a concert? I mean, right. I know Madonna. I've worked with her. I mean, she's fine, but she's a little wacky.
Yeah, okay. I'm saying she still went, I guess, which is positive, right?
You know, it is positive, but we also need people who are articulate. Madonna is not a particularly articulate person, a spokesman for Zionism.
Right.
She's much more effective as a spokesman for gay marriage, which is, you know, a problem. When Madonna shows up wearing a Boy Scout uniform, which is basically saying that homosexuals should be Boy Scout leaders, that makes a huge impact in the media.
Right.
If she and other Hollywood people. And she's really not a Hollywood person, I have to tell you. She's sort of marginal in Hollywood at this point. But if real big stars, you know, like Charlize Theron and Ashton Kutcher and George Clooney and people like that, if they were schooled and educated in the history and the importance of Eretz Israel and the righteousness of Tzionut, it would make a huge difference. But first of all, it's hard to get to these people, that I admit. And second of all, they very rarely have time to sit down and learn.
Right.
So it is a problem, but it's not insoluble. If you can state the problem, you can find a solution. The problem is the Jewish organizations, as I said before, are simply clueless when it comes to the importance of Hollywood.
Right. No, I mean, I know that I've been involved with some organizations that have done this, so I guess some people are doing some good things. That's for sure. More with TV programs, I think, than with some of the Hollywood stars. So let's say, in the last few years, what have you been doing? You know, what projects have you been working on?
Well, I work on one project after another. I won an Emmy Award a couple of years ago for a movie called The Devil's Arithmetic, which is a completely Jewish movie. And I'm proud of the work that I do, you know, in Hollywood. But a lot of projects that I write and that I get paid for, they don't get made simply because, well, it's hard to say, but several projects have not been made because they came out very strongly against Muslim terrorism.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not complaining about Hollywood. I want to state that up front. I'm very, very lucky to be a Hollywood screenwriter and producer. I was the first film screenwriter to work in mainstream Hollywood, and I've been thankful that I've been able to make a living like that. There are problems in Hollywood, and all screenwriters have problems. My problems are just very specific and narrow.
I got you. I hear what you're saying. So, Confessions of a Shomer Shabbos Hollywood Screenwriter. Would you recommend this as a nice field for people who are talented to get involved in? Is it a nice
Absolutely.
Way of life?
The more Jewish screenwriters who care about seeing, listen, they don't have to be frum. You don't have,
right.
You know, you don't have to wear a black hat and a black suit, you know, to work and to make an impact. People who love Eretz Israel, people who love Yiddishkeit, the more that they work in Hollywood, the better of a moral landscape Hollywood will become. And I teach screenwriting. I volunteer at the local Yeshiva University High School for Girls here in Los Angeles.
Sure.
I teach a high school screenwriting course.
Great.
Because they're girls with tremendous creative urges. And my students are tremendously, tremendously talented. And I'm turning out a whole crop of wonderful, firm female screenwriters.
That's really fantastic. And then maybe you'll do it on online education. We can get people from all over to take the class. You know?
That would be wonderful. Nobody's ever approached me about that.
That's
but
a great idea.
It'd be wonderful.
That would be a great idea. Well, listen, thank you so much.
I urge, you know, yeshiva students do not have to become lawyers. They do not have to become lawyers. Accountants, if you're talented and you love movies the way I did, growing up, I will confess, I loved movies more than I loved Gemara. This is the place to be, and you can make an impact.
Great. Wonderful. Well, listen, thank you so much for the interview, for the article, for everything you do. It's Robert Avrich, and we're looking forward to reading it and looking forward to seeing your next project. So have a wonderful day. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.